Genesis chapter 4. I used to dread when we had revival, sort of dreaded in a way, I'm just kidding, but I remember we'd have revival and a fellow would come preach all week, and I think, boy, when Pastor Woodard, my pastor, would get in the pulpit after a revival all week, look out, man, he might never get done, but hopefully that won't be the case, but you know, it does get us excited, boy, when somebody's preaching. A lot of times, you know, us preachers, we're doing the preaching, and I try to listen to good preaching when I hear it or see it, but it's good to sit sometime, have somebody else preaching to you, and you know, God speaks to your heart about a lot of things. And you know, Brother Dwayne and I, we got to sit up late. We sat up late about every night talking about different things in the world. And so I want to read this text to you here, and we'll get into this message here a little bit. But Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel and his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from the face shall I be hid. From thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, and he called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that we can come together and gather and preach. Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts. Lord, we're dependent on you for guidance and wisdom. Lord, we're dependent on you to move among us. Lord, meet with us, and we'll know that we've been in your presence today, Lord. And I pray you that you have your will and way. There may be one or more lost here today. We pray for their salvation as always. Speak through them and speak to them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message is Evolution or Devolution. It's a little play on the words devolving. Devolving. I know I put Genesis 4, 1 through 22, but as I was reading, the Lord said that's good enough. Just stop right there and I can refer to the other verses as we kind of go along. You know, I got to thinking about this, and we were talking about it a little bit during Sunday school hour this morning. But, you know, the world's philosophy is this, is that you know, we are evolving as humans, that man started out and he was an ape, and then he got up to the caveman Neanderthal era, and then he got up a little bit higher, you know, started going. And that as we have progressed in the world, is that now that we have evolved to a higher being. And you know, I think that the philosophy with the world generally is that, you know, we're just a lot smarter and a lot more educated, and we've come farther along than, say, even people, you know, 200, 300, 400, 500 years ago. And I know science and technology and all that has progressed, you know, over times. But, you know, I think that's part of it that's led to that thought, and that, you know, we've not, and that we've... They think, the world thinks that we've evolved to be in a greater generation of people. But I want you to see that it's not that way. It's not so. I believe that as a world and as a people, that instead of evolving, that we have devolved. And I know the devil's at the foot of that. And we have, and so instead of evolution, we have devolution. And when you look at society and when you look at the world today, we've declined morally, we've declined culturally, we've declined socially in every single area. We talked some this morning about this, but I mean, we've got today, there's a confusion of things, what's right and wrong. We've got a confusion of the sexes. We've got men that want to be with men, but they want to be with men that act like a woman. And we've got women that want to be with women. And at the same time, they're so confused, they want to be with a woman that looks like a man. And I mean, it's a mess out there. That blurring, there's an absence of respect for authority. There's an absence of manners. There's public nakedness, general rebellion of society. There's a rejection of God and God's Word. I mean, we have not evolved. We have gotten farther and farther and farther away from what God intended. When you look in the book of Genesis, when He made the Garden of Eden and when He made man and He brought forth woman from Adam's side, and the way things were and the way the world was and the way the philosophy of the world was, listen, we are so far from what God intended that it's just almost unbelievable. When I was coming along, there was an advertisement for something on TV. I forgot what it was, but it said, "We've come a long way, baby." And I'll tell you what, you got that right. But I'll say this about it. It ain't good. It ain't good. We've come a long way, but it's not. The world is not getting better and better and better. The world that we live in is getting worse and worse and worse. It's getting, I almost put on the sign one time. I think I told this here. I almost put on the sign, "Is anything sin anymore? Is anything sinful anymore?" The world out there doesn't think so, because you can find somebody that with about everything that's going on in the world, there's somebody that'll think there's nothing wrong with it. And so, the Bible tells us some things. Listen, that not to conform ourselves to this world, and I'll talk about that later, but there's a reason for it. And the reason is this, is that the world's not getting closer to God. It's not. And so the Bible tells us not to conform ourselves with the Word of God. So I kind of want to think about along these lines of where we're going as a society. Are we getting closer to God? Are we getting farther away from God? Are we evolving? Are we devolving? And I want to look at this text here and kind of show you some things from that. Number one point, we look at the beginning with God. You know, one thing about revivals, I mean, a revival, we have a revival, and it's a sense that in a revival that, you know, you're trying to get back, like there was life, and now the life is gone, and we're trying to get back to life. So sometimes, you know, you have to go back to the beginning. We can't get a whole lot farther back in the beginning than looking in the book of Genesis. But then when we look at the very beginning with Adam and Eve, and we look in our text, it said Adam knew his wife, Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." So we see here's a family. Here's a family, the very first family in the history of the world, Adam and Eve. And boy, we got families here today. We got new babies popping out left and right, and families here. It's great, man, to have the families and the kids. And we've got relatively newlywed folks, young families. We got young couples that haven't been married a long time, and we got kind of a good mixture of all that. But what everybody's doing is we're building families. And Adam and Eve was the first family, and that's what they were doing. They got their family together, and Adam knew his wife, and they had children. They started having children. And they were farmers. Really, they were kind of farmers by trade. They were tending the land, tilling the land. We know that they were raising animals. They tilled the soil. They labored with God in the earth. You know, some people think that all, you know, and a lot of times we think this way, that the work that God, that work didn't come about until the curse, when sin entered the world. But that's not true, because before sin entered, God had given Adam something to do, that he would tend the Garden of Eden. He tended the Garden of Eden. So work is something that's ordained by God. It's not a punishment by any means. And what it is you labor with God. They labor with God. And another thing they did was they worshiped God. So in the very beginning, that we see that there was a family. God made man and woman. They had kids. And in the very beginning, they worshiped God. Listen, they didn't. They weren't apes. They didn't come up and they weren't Neanderthals and walk around and couldn't speak. Knocked their wife in the head with a club, drag her back to the cave. They didn't do none of that stuff. They were in the beginning. They were man and woman, wife. They had families just like you have. And at the very beginning, they worshiped God. All right. And I'm going to tell you what, it was right. Everything was right. This was the first family in God. And I know sin had entered the earth by now, but this was right. And I mean, this, I would say that the world then was just as probably as close to God as it would ever be in a human form. And that we have gone from that and devolved down to the place that we're at today. But we'll look at that in just a minute. They worshiped God. I believe they taught their children how to worship God. They did. They taught Cain just the same as they taught Abel. They were and Adam and Eve, you know, at one time Adam and Eve had such a relationship with God. I mean, the Bible said that God would come and walk with them and talk with them in the cool of the evening. They would walk along. Boy, what a relationship in a perfect environment. And even after sin entered and they confessed and God clothed them with animal skins. He shed blood. It took care of their sins. They still had a relationship with God. It was a close relationship with God as a family. And they started raising their kids. But as I said, sin entered into the land. And I'm going to tell you, when sin enters, there's rebellion afoot. Huh? There's a rebellious spirit that the natural man has. The natural man has a rebellious spirit, and they had it. And we see, and as they started raising their children, one of them ultimately chose not to follow God. And this is the scary thing, parents. I'm going to tell you what, and the Bible tells us this. It says, raise your children in the way that they should go. Listen, mom and dad, not in the way they want to go, in the way that they should go. Raise your children in the way they should go. That's what we can do. And what we can do is we can pray to God and we can say, no, listen, I know that, you know, sometimes people are so caught up in the fact that, listen, everything has to work from the heart out. It does. But it doesn't matter when you're raising kids. It doesn't matter if their heart doesn't want to do it. Parents, you raise them up the way they should go. Now, down the road, when they get a little bit older, and this is where a lot of prayer comes in, mom and dad, when they get older, they're going to have to make a choice whether they want to follow God or not. But as we've discussed here, and Brother Dwayne, I think, even mentioned it too, as long as they're under our roof. And I told my kids, I mean, when they were coming up, it didn't matter. Danielle, Kyle, on their living. Kyle actually moved away and came back. And I said, well, buddy, you're under the roof of this house. You know, and he didn't argue with me. No problem. You will be in church. You will be in church. And I told my daughter the same thing. As long as you live here, I don't care. 18, I'm going to do what I want to do. No, you're not going to do what you want to do. You're going to do what I'm telling you to do while you're living under the roof of this house. Because I've got a responsibility to do that and teach my kids. And then all I can do is pray. All you can do is pray. Because they ultimately, and all you kids that are raised up, listen, just because mom and dad saved, you one day are going to have to, if you haven't done it, you're going to have to make a decision whether you want to follow God. And we see in our text that there was the two children there that were raised the same way and that they were taught how to worship God the same way. And we see in the text that the Bible says that God had respect unto Abel and his sacrifice, but unto Cain and his sacrifice he did not. And I started thinking about it. You know, what actually is going on there? And a lot of times we've talked this, and I might have even taught it too, but I got to studying a little deeper, and I don't know that it's exactly correct. So we'll get it straightened out today. A lot of people think, well, because Cain didn't offer a blood sacrifice is the reason that God rejected his offering. But, you know, when you get down there and look, and we just studied the book of Leviticus on Wednesday night, and we got to looking at the offerings and everything. Don't you remember those of you that are here on Wednesday night Bible study? God did make provisions for a fruit and a grain offering. God made provisions for that. A fruit and grain offering was not wrong. Over in Deuteronomy, he gave some other instructions on having a fruit and grain offering. But look what it says. It said in verse 5, see, here's where the problem is. It said, unto Cain, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And look at Cain's reaction. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He told him in verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. shalt thou not be accepted. It didn't say if thou doest well, shalt thou sacrifice not be accepted. It says if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And I got to thinking and I wondered about this. Do you suppose if Cain had bought a blood sacrifice like his brother Abel, that his sacrifice would have been accepted? See, the problem didn't lie in the sacrifice. The problem lied in the heart of Cain. Huh? There was a problem in the heart of Cain, and I want you to look at this. It wasn't Cain's offering that was rejected. It was Cain himself. Which brings us to the next point, the bypassing of God. What was wrong with Cain? Notice how quickly that when his offering wasn't accepted, that he was very wroth, which means he was mad, and his countenance fell. What was wrong with Cain? I'll tell you what was wrong with Cain. Cain was playing church. He was worshiping. It was time to worship, and everybody went to worship, and Abel offered a sacrifice, and Cain says, hey, I'm going to offer a sacrifice too. But God said, listen, I'm not going to accept your sacrifice. It had nothing to do with the sacrifice. It had to do with Cain's heart. He didn't have a heart for God. He didn't have a heart for God. He didn't have a heart for the Word of God. But the sad part is, he didn't think God knew it. See, and there's people all over churches today that are sitting around playing the little church game. And they're playing church and they're coming along and they're trying to do something for God or they're making a sacrifice for God. They think, but God won't accept it. God won't accept it because they've got a problem and the problem is lying down in their heart. You know, when you come to church, let me tell you something right now. When you come to church and your heart's not right with God, listen, you're not fooling God. When your mind's off wandering somewhere else, during the worship or the preaching of the Word of God, when your mind is somewhere else, when you get to church, I watch people sometimes and they got that phone out and buddy, they are text messaging right up to the start of church. They got that thing going. Even during the first song, we're singing a worship song to God, buddy, and they got the thing, just a text message. I always wondered to myself, I said, man alive, is their heart ready to worship? No, because your mind and heart's somewhere else. It's off somewhere else. I'm going to tell you what, I don't believe God accepts it. It's not acceptable unto God what we're trying to offer God. Man, when you're playing around, goofing off, harboring hate, a rebellious attitude, disrespect for authority, disrespect for parents, whoever, unloving, unforgiving, unrepentant, I'm going to tell you something, God will reject your sacrifice. That's just the way it is. I mean, because this is the reality, and I think so much of our worship today is so superficial. It's so habitual, it's so routine, it's set in the mold of a certain time frame at a certain day of the week. And we think we can just have our minds and hearts not right with God and turn that off and turn it back on a certain day or for a certain time or maybe not even certain. I'm here, aren't I? That's not acceptable unto God. It's not. That's why he rejected Cain. He rejected Cain's sacrifice. Cain did the right things. He sacrificed the right things. He gave God something. God said, "That's not a one. I don't want it," because the Bible says it's better to obey. And look how quickly he was wroth. That's the evidence that his heart was not right. See, that's what happens today. You get in the church today, you get around people sitting out there, and right here, buddy, right here in this church, you get out here and you preach the truth of God's Word, you know what happens? Somebody cops an attitude. Huh? Somebody gets mad about it. Oh, man, that preacher, man, I'm not listening to what he's got to say. But if it's out of the Word of God, I'm going to tell you what, you're rejecting God's Word, and I'm going to tell you another thing, God's rejecting you. Huh? God's rejecting you. He got mad. He got mad about it because his heart, that was the evidence that his heart wasn't right with God. You can sing to God all you want to, but God won't accept it if your heart's not right. You can work around the church all you want to, and if your heart's not right, God will reject that. Because the Bible tells that God looketh on the heart. What did God see when he looked on Cain's heart? In verse 8, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, the Bible doesn't say how much time passed, but from the time he left the altar of God until the time that he slew his brother. But in a technical sense, he left the altar of God and killed his own brother. Man, I got to thinking about that. I wonder how many times we left the altar of God and done what? The Bible says that he hated his brother, and the Bible tells us that hate's the same as murder. The Bible says if you're harboring hate in your heart, that you've murdered it, that's the same as murdering somebody. And I believe that Cain murdered his brother in his heart many times before he actually committed the crime. Wonder how many times we've got off the altar, got from the worship service and done what? That was ungodly, that was unaccepted, which tells us that our altar call, our worship was not accepted by God. God looked at Cain's heart and he saw a murderer. God looked at Cain's heart and he saw a liar. In verse 9, the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. I know not where my brother is." He tried to lie to God. He didn't have faith in God. He really didn't know God. God didn't ask Cain where Abel was because God didn't know where Abel was. You know what God was doing? He was giving Abel a chance to confess, repent, but he lied. See, how many times do we try to lie to God? Yeah, how many times do we try to lie to God? We're involved in sin, or we're committing gross sin, doing things that trying to worship God. Listen, God said, "Listen, I just can't accept it. It's not acceptable." Didn't even know that God would know. He didn't know God well enough to know that he could not lie to God. But I'm going to tell you what right here, if we're honest with ourselves, we've all tried it. We've all tried to lie to God. I'll tell you why, because you lie to yourself. We'll lie to ourselves and we try to lie to God. We try to convince ourselves and we try to convince God that what we're doing, there's nothing wrong with it. And that everything will be all right and we'll go down to church. Man, I tell you the things. I was talking to my church this morning there in Sunday school. The things in church, the things that go on in church, the things that go on with Christian folks, and we think that that's acceptable in the sight of God, or that God doesn't see us. Huh? Man, I mean, folks out there living in sin, thinking they can come to the house of God and worship God. Folks out there doing sinful things, thinking sinful thoughts, and thinking that God's going to accept their worship and their sacrifice. Preachers today scared to preach on anything because they're afraid that somebody's going to run out the door. That's not going to be, it doesn't matter. We could have a million people in here. If the heart's not right with God, God wouldn't accept one thing we do for God. He wouldn't accept our singing. He wouldn't accept our preaching. He wouldn't accept our praying. He wouldn't accept anything because the heart's not right with God. Didn't know God well enough to know that you can't lie to God. He gave opportunity for Cain to confess, but leads us to the next thing God saw. He saw an unrepentant sinner. Look in verse 14. This is what Cain's response to the punishment. God cursed him and said, he told him up there he was going to curse the earth. And he said, Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from the face of, and shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me." There was a lot of me's going on right there. That's all he was. He had no repentance for the crime. He didn't say, "God, I'm sorry. I've killed my brother. I'm brokenhearted about that." All he said was, "I'm worried about me. You've cursed the earth. What am I going to do? Somebody's going to find me out there. They're going to slay me. I'm not going to be able to live. What am I going to do?" That's not a repentant heart. That's a selfish. He saw a selfish, full-blown, God-rejecting, unrepentant rebel. That's all he was. Only concerned about the punishment he had to bear. I was thinking about that, and I read on down there just a little ways and bring us to the next point, building without God. It said that verse 16, that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife and she conceived and bare Enoch. He started building a family. And then it said he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. He started building the city. And you go down there and look at that verse a little farther. I didn't read that far. But it said there that that Adah in verse 20 bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such that have cattle. So there we see there was some farmers. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such that handle the harp and the organ, so they could play musical instruments and they could make musical instruments. And Zillah, it said, and Zillah, and she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. So they were metal workers there. And they went on, you know, all that. We saw all those things. Verse 12 tells us that God was going to bless. Verse 12, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in all the earth. See, what the world doesn't realize out here is that all the blessings come from God. Our problem, several years ago, David Gibbs preached this, and I mentioned it at our church when I was meeting, that, you know, we don't need God because of our technology and all that. We don't need God in the same way that people needed God in those days. And that's why we're building a society and a world that can live apart from God. Thinks it can. But all blessings come from God. God told Cain, he said, listen, man, you can go out there. He said, you can plow all you want. You can sow all you want. You can water all you want. You can fertilize all you want. He said, I'm not going to bless it. Nothing's going to come out of it. You're going to be a wanderer and a vagabond in the world. That's what's going on out there in the world today. All the education and science and technology is not going to override the blessings of God. And Cain couldn't continue as a farmer, so he had to be a wanderer. What a picture of the lost world that's wandering around looking for something. They're going here, they're going there, they're trying to find happiness, they're trying to find satisfaction, and without God they can't find it. And that's what Cain did. He went. He said, listen, I want to have it like everybody else. He knew that his parents, godly parents, were building a family and they were building a city. And he said, you know, I want to build a family and I'm going to build a city. I want to have the same thing. But buddy, it wasn't the same. It wasn't nowhere near the family and the people that Adam and Eve were building up. And he just wandered around and tried to counterfeit everything that God is doing. And that's what the devil does. Listen, man, all the devil is, he's a counterfeiter. And if you study that out, and I didn't have time to read all the text to you and I study it out, but when you look at the line later on, Adam and Eve, they had another son. His name was Seth. And the Bible gives the family line of Seth. When you start looking at that family line and you look at the family line of Cain, the names are the same. He counterfeited the names of the godly line. Same names. Started naming his kids the same way. He thought that'll be good because God's blessing them and I'll give them the same name. Satan's a counterfeiter. See, that's what he does. Satan's counterfeiting. And that's really, listen, I'm not against technology and all that. I love all them gadgets and things and push buttons and microwaves and all that kind of stuff. Instant coffee maker or whatever they do. I like that. I like hot water when you take a shower. It's good. But I'm going to tell you one thing, man. What it is Satan has taken these things and it's a counterfeit for the blessings of God. And we think, oh, man, there's people out there thinking, oh, we're blessed. We're blessed by God. We're blessing this nation. How? How could God bless this nation right now? Amen. Taking prayer out of school. Got a lawsuit going on to remove One Nation Under God from the Pledge of Allegiance. We're promoting same-sex marriage, saying it's okay. The federal government saying it's okay that we can have same-sex marriage. And we think around and think God's blessing this nation. No, I don't think God is. Amen. I think we're blessing ourselves to some degree, a counterfeit blessing that Satan has created with technology. And we think, and see, we don't need God. There's people out there that think we don't need God. Right? We can just go ahead and live without God. And you can. You can live without God. I'm going to tell you what, you better not die without Him. Huh? You better not die without God. I'm going to tell you what, because it's going to be a long time in a hot, burning hell, Christless hell, if you die without God. Listen, we can't. The Satan's counterfeiting everything out there. The blessings of God. And you know, when you read that, boy, and you read that little stretch I read right there, they had everything. They had metal workers. They had farmers. They had people growing food. You could get crops. Boy, they knew how to make musical instruments. They knew how to play the musical instruments. You read that whole list, they had everything except one thing. They didn't have God.
They didn't have God. And listen, you can go out here, man, I'll tell you what, the way it is today with science, with education like it is, you can go out here without God, I'm going to tell you what, and God will let you go ahead and do it. God showed Cain some mercy. When Cain started saying, I'm worried, somebody, they're going to kill me if somebody finds me, kill you. He said, I'll tell you what, then I'm going to give you a little bit of grace. I'll pour a little grace on you. I'm going to put a mark on you. We don't know what it is. He said, I'm going to put a mark on you, and if anybody kills you, he said, then they'll punish sevenfold against that person right there. That was the grace of God. You're talking about a picture of the grace of God to an undeserved sinner. Amen. He said, listen, he showed him some grace. But you know what? Cain went on living without God. He went on living. Every day is a blessing from God. Every day that I don't care if it's the worst atheist in the world, that they're out there breathing and that old heart's beating, it's a blessing from God. They got a chance. They got a chance, but Cain, he never repented. He never was sorry for his sins. He never confessed that he killed his brother. He never admitted anything was wrong. All he was worried about was himself. All he worried about was, oh, what am I going to do? And God said, listen, I'll spare you just a little bit. They had it all. They were rich in culture. They were rich in industry. They had everything they needed, except they didn't have God. Boy, how much like the world that we live in today. A lot of people ask you, right, what do you need Jesus for? Huh? You going down there to church again? That's a good one, isn't it, Kathy? Huh? You going down there to church again? You done been down there two nights in a row. Woo! Huh? Yeah, you done. What are you going down there? What are you thinking? What are you doing that for? Church? God, that's for weak people. God's for weak people. You can do it all your own. Go ahead. Don't call me to preach a funeral. I'm not telling no lies in the pulpit when you die. Oh, yeah, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Boy, they was really godly folk. Boy, they really. I get these calls. Brother Dwayne and I talked about it. You get calls. When I first started pastoring, I would always get the call from the funeral home for somebody that they needed. They didn't know no preacher. Nobody in the family knew a preacher. And they wanted you to come down there and preach the funeral. I hated it, in a way. Man, you're trying to be kind and you're trying to be comforting. But how are you going to comfort a family of a lost person? Really? You know, and you avoid it. You got to tap dance around everything. I'm not preaching them into heaven. Listen, if God didn't take them there. Amen. I'm not going to tell them, oh, yeah, they're in a better place. I know good and well there's lots of funerals I preach they wasn't in a better place. Any indication, you know, unless they got saved at the last minute, as far as I knew. Call on a preacher to preach it. I dreaded it. I dreaded it with passion. It only gives you an opportunity to preach the gospel, and all you can do is preach to the ones that's still alive. But boy, we got a whole society like the society Cain built. Really, this is like Cain's society now. I mean, it's just going on and on and on without God. People are building families and building lives, and they're trying to build it all without God. And listen, I'm going to tell you, you're wrong to say it can't be done. It can be done. They did it then. They're doing it now. They can do it without God. There's a price you're going to pay for it. Huh? There's a price you're going to pay, Mom and Dad, to build your family without God. You know, over there in the 1 John tells us this right here, 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It's not teaching work salvation. It's just telling you when you get saved, you're going to do the will of God. Amen. That's the result of being saved. The world, listen, it's building without God. And this world is carrying people away with it. It's carrying people away with it, really. And you're building a life. You know, you better build it upon Christ. I started thinking about that. I preached a message a long time ago. I remember a fellow came down the aisle and got saved when I preached the whole message. But it was about building, you know, upon the sand and upon the rock. And I used to use the three little pig. Those of you that have been on here a long time ago, I used the three little pig illustration. Remember that? Old big bad wolf, you know, came along. One little pig built his house out of straw. One built it out of sticks and one built it out of bricks. Big bad wolf came along. He huffed and puffed and he blew the first one down, blew the second one down. But he couldn't blow the third one down. And when you build, man, I mean, you go out in the country around here. Have you ever seen an old barn that wasn't built on a good foundation? looks like it's leaning off so far, boy, if it looked like if a fly landed on one spot, the whole thing would go in. Something happened to the foundation. And see, that's what happens, and it takes years. You know, them old barns have been out there forever and ever and ever. And I remember I was fascinated with it because I grew up in the city. I grew up in Virginia Beach, and, you know, we didn't have a lot of barns down Virginia Beach. But when we got out in the country, we'd go out to my great-grandmother's, and you ride along, you see these old barns and shacks and sheds. They was dropped off to one side, and they'd stay there for years like that. It took them years to, you know, when they built, they didn't build them that way. They built them straight. But what happened was they didn't get the foundations good. And so one side started sagging and everything good. See, when you dig down, you dig in the ground. Rick, you're a builder, and you know how that goes. You dig down there, you get all that soft dirt out of there, and then they put a footer down there. But boy, you can't beat this. What would be a perfect situation for a builder is you built, if you dug down there about 3 or 4 feet and you hit solid rock all the way around. You didn't have to put, honey, you start building up off that solid rock. That's the rock, you know. Boy, that's a great contrast, isn't it? Jesus said, I'm a rock. He's a rock. Huh? Listen, man, building your life on Christ. Building your life on Christ, that's it. You can build without God like Cain, but it's a counterfeit life.
Right.
Let me ask you some things here in closing. Are you bypassing God in your life? Are you bypassing God in your worship? Is there things that you need to confess and need to repent of in your life? It's just getting, things are just, you know, you really, you're just living without God. Living without God. Is your sacrifice, is it acceptable? I'm glad you're here. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're here. We're supposed to be here for a worship service. But I want to ask you this. If you examine your life and your attitude and your heart, let me ask you this. Do you think your worship was accepted by God today? Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to God. You can't do it. Do you think your worship was accepted by God today? Let's all stand with their heads bowed. Now, let's close. Have my...